This podcast is part of the Big Heads Media Podcast Network. Go to bigheadsmedia.com for more great podcasts.
Welcome to the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I am Nate Schreiber, and as always, with my co-host, Alex Pollinger.
All right, that was a tough one yesterday. We're recording on Monday night, and I think the worst part about it is the Bills should have won this game by a couple of scores. I think Sal Capaccio said the Bills outgained the Dolphins 497 to 212. That's only the second time in the last, 16 years, I think he said, that a team has lost a game by outgaining their opponents that much. It's an anomaly. They had so many chances, and they threw away a ton of points.
You know, Alex, I don't know if you've seen or not. Do you know who the other game where that happened was in the last 16 years?
I think it was the Dolphins were the victors of that as well.
It was the Dolphins over the Ravens in 2020. So, yeah, it was Dolphins have done that twice. And, yeah, I think we were just talking in the pre-show. I watched the game again. I think I feel worse about it after the second time watching it because of how easily the Bills should have won the game. And it was a close game, and it shouldn't have been a close game. And I think something else I've thought about, and I think this is probably the point I want to make, the biggest point I want to make on the show today, is the Bills over the last, I think since mid-2020, have lost 8 one score games in a row, and every game they've won has been by double digits. That to me tells me how good the Bills are, more so than how bad they are at winning one score games or how bad they are at winning close games. When you only lose in these close games and you blow everyone else out for 2.5 years, I don't think this is a big deal. They're the best team in football. They still are. I don't think this is a big deal.
Yeah, and I think we said it in the preview that, if they lose this, sweet, they probably still win the division. And I think that's right. Miami is in the driver's seat now. They play on a short week on Thursday night. Now, if they start 4-0 against the Bengals, they have a very easy schedule for the next 7 or 8 weeks. They could be in the driver's seat for a while, and that's fine. This Bills team's good. Like you said, Nate, a lot of people like to say, they can't win close games. Correct me if I'm wrong, Nate, but everything we know about close games in the NFL is it's basically a coin flip, right? The 50-50 shot of winning them.
Yeah, for the most part, yes. Close games in the NFL are random. And that's why, over the long run, it's better to look at, even at something so simple as point differential. Is more telling than wins and losses over a long period of time because of things like those close games. If you win 5 games by 30 and lose 5 games by 2, and another team, wins 5 games by 2 and loses 5 games by 30, which team is better? And I don't think there's really a question about that. That's why you can't really look at win and losses all the time. Yes, it matters, but in terms of who the best teams are, that's not what you want to look at.
Right. Ultimately, wins and losses are what matters, but in terms of drawing conclusions about how good any team is from a smaller sample size, you're right. It's point differential for sure. The Falcons last year, I'm pretty sure they won 6 or 7 close games. Anybody think the Falcons were a good team last year? I don't think so. They got their doors blown off when they lost. So it's frustrating. They left so many points on the field. I think I counted yesterday. There's 17 points that they left on the field just directly from, a handful of plays. That's not even to say what could have been had they made a few others where they weren't really near scoring position. Gabe Davis dropped a touchdown. The botched spike because of a bad snap before half could have been another three. The missed or slightly blocked field goal. I still can't tell if that was blocked or not. That's another 3 points. Not being able to punch the ball inside the 2 yard line with 3 tries for a touchdown at the end of the game. There are 7 points. It was just infuriating watching them not be able to finish a game off when I think everybody watching and everybody in the stadium just thought, okay, they're the better team. Are they going to do this or not?
Yeah, and it's exceedingly frustrating because the defense was so shorthanded, the especially the secondary, and the defense played great. The Tua made a few great plays. The Dolphins made a couple great. He made one fantastic throw that I think, you know, Poyer or Hyde would have made a play on. Jaquan Johnson did not make a play on it, but it was still a pretty good throw in the moment. And he had one other deep throw into cover two where safeties just got mixed up. That happens with backups, but the fact that you have 217 yards is, I mean, that's pretty impressive, all things considered. And that's why I think the loss is mostly on the offense, just not being able to, you know, do things the right way all game long. They kept making mistakes. There was just mistake after mistake, the turnover deep in their own territory. The end of the half, the throw at the end of the game, the set of downs at the end of the game, when they couldn't, for some reason, run the ball from 2 yards out other than a read option, which the Dolphins were going to defend. Other teams do. I don't know why they just couldn't just run the ball from that spot. It was just mistake after mistake, and those things piled up. And they, like you said, Alex, they cost the Bills a lot of points.
Yeah, and I think if you tell us before the game, Dolphins only score 21 points. You have almost 500 yards of total offense. Did the Bills lose that game? It's like a riddle. I can't imagine many teams have lost games just looking at those numbers, the opposing point total and how many yards of offense they had. It's improbable and it sucks, but I really wonder if the decision to not run it in those short yardage situations is because of how bad the snaps were all game. Greg Van Roten was terrible. Like, even throughout the game, any snap and shotgun, it seemed like the snap was at Josh Allen's knees.
Well, I don't understand, though. They tried to run with the read option, and whatever, it didn't work. But what I don't understand is why they couldn't just run Josh Allen, like quarterback power. Quarterback sweep. Just run him. Don't do the read option stuff. He's the best red zone runner in the game right now. You're 2 yards away. Just run Josh Allen. The snap is going to matter as much as you think. That's the one thing I wish they would have done.
Yeah. Or even from the inside the 2 yard line, 3 tries. Just quarterback sneak it 3 times. If you can't get 2 yards off of that, then just get on the plane and go home. It seems pretty simple, but hopefully they learn from the mistakes here. And like I said, the defense played pretty well, all things considered. I mean, the offense gifted the Dolphins 7 points, so really they gave up 14 points on their own.
Yeah, the defense played great. I mean, Jaquan Johnson was very disappointing. Outside of him, though, I think the defense played fantastic. Kyrie Elam was absolutely fantastic. That was his best game as a pro. I mean, he played the most snaps to play as a pro so far, but that was his best game by far. If he plays like that when Trey White comes back, the Bills defense, when healthy, is going to be a problem. Benford is probably going to be out for, I mean, a bit. It's hard to say necessarily. He has a broken hand. You can play a little bit with a broken hand. You put the club on. He played with the club on for a good part of that game, but I wonder what they're going to do with him. But I think given the way Kyrie Elam played, I feel pretty good about secondary, especially once Trey White comes back.
Yeah, and I think McDermott said today in his press conference that it was it's going to be a couple of weeks for Benford, so hopefully Dane Jackson can get back. I know he had that scary neck injury, but he was out at practice in a red non-contact jersey, so even though he wasn't practicing, he was present, And, you know, that would be a big boost considering, you know, the alternative options are probably Cam Lewis, Saran Neal, or Jamarcus Ingram off the practice squad. So it's not looking good short term, but like you said, Kyrie Lum was really good and things are looking okay long term when you get Trey White back. Micah Hyde sucks losing him for the year, and I'm more concerned about Micah Hyde's long-term health considering they haven't really said a whole lot other than that he's going to be back in 2023, but a neck injury that takes you out for the year is pretty scary, and he's had neck issues before.
Yeah, I wouldn't put any stock in anything about Micah Hyde coming back to play football again right now. I don't think that's something to worry about at the moment. I mean, those kind of injuries are scary, and it's more important for him to be healthy than for him to play football again. And we might not see him play again. I don't think that's something we're going to know, or even the Bills are going to know for until the offseason, whether or not he's going to play again in 2023. I know his agent said he'll be ready to go, but with those kind of injuries, you really never know.
And especially when we have no details other than just his agent saying he'll be back. So I know you said Jaquan Johnson was disappointing. I think he had some bright spots in this game, but it seemed like he was always just a beat late on making a huge play. The touchdown to River Craycraft on that slant. I think Micah Hyde probably either deflects that or picks it off and takes it to the house, because if Jaquan Johnson was a split second earlier on reacting to that, I think he had an easy pick, and with his momentum going the other way, I think he probably had a touchdown.
And that's one of the plays, like, you think the regular starter makes that play. Same thing on the long throw to Waddle. Like, you think the regular starters make that play. And it sucks to have guys out, guys are hurt in football sometimes. And the Bills still should have won that game. That's not, like, there's no excuses. The defense played fine. You have 21 points to the Dolphins, who do, whether or not anyone wants to admit it, have one of the better offenses in football. That's a pretty good showing for essentially a majority backup defense.
Yeah. And if you look at, you know, the betting markets, that they still think the Bills are the favorite to win the division. They're like minus 225, minus 250. There's a long, long ways to go. And give Miami credit, they won the game. But for the most part, to me, it felt like in the fourth quarter, Miami was just trying not to lose. Just trying not to lose. They almost gave up a safety on the very first snap from the 1 yard line when the Bills didn't score, or the 2 yard line, wherever it was. And then they quarterback sneak it and basically just say, okay, we're going to try to punt from our own end zone and just hope that the Bills can't score again. Like, it just felt scared, and it felt like they knew they were the inferior team. But like you said, they're a decent offense, but in my mind, the Bills are still totally superior until, you know, the Dolphins get ahead several games and the Bills are in trouble. Like, that's the only thing that's going to change my mind.
Well, and that's where if there's something to worry about, I think it's the Dolphins schedule the next their first 11 games through week 12 is pretty easy. And the Dolphins could very conceivably be 9-2 through 11 games, when the Bills are 7-4 or 8-3 through 11 games. And yes, the Bills' end of season schedule is relatively easy, and they could easily run the table, you know, from 7-4 to 13-4. It could put them in a tough spot with the division, depending on how the Dolphins do. And that's where this game could potentially be important. Yes, I agree. The Bills are the superior team. They should be division favorites, but the Dolphins only have to beat a couple teams that are equal or slightly better than them and not lose to bad teams over the next 9 weeks. And they realistically could be in the driver's seat. I think it's the Bills, maybe 55%, 60% chance of the division now, where if they had won that game, would be close to 100 is I think fair to say.
Yeah, I think that's right. And it's the Dolphins, the way they've won the last two games, like, it was a 1% probability they beat the Ravens when they were down 21 points in the fourth quarter. they did it. Good for them. But also beating the Bills the way they did yesterday isn't all that convincing either. So I think they're bound to regress at some point when they're playing close games and good teams. They probably drop a couple, I would think, in this next, you know, 7 or 8 weeks. So yeah, they could very well be 9-2, but they could very well lose 4 or 5 of their last 6. So there's a lot of season left to play. I think if the Bills can go 2-1 in the next 3 weeks, I think that looks pretty good for them considering how banged up they are.
Yeah, I think that the challenge is if you look at the next 4 weeks, that fourth game is the Packers at home on Sunday night. And, you know, the Bills go, say the Bills go 2-2 in the next 4. Now you're 4-3. And you're still in a good spot, I think, at 4-3. But you're in a much tougher spot in terms of winning the division. Looking just like that's where I think the next 4 games are pretty important. I really think the Bills they don't have to go 3-1, but if they don't go 3-1 in the next 4, they have a lot of work to do at the back half of the season.
Right. It feels pretty reminiscent of last season where people thought that the Patriots, oh no, the demons from the past, the Patriots are going to come and win the division. And we told you, no, even though the Bills are behind, they're looking pretty good, especially if they can just get the Patriots in normal weather when they play them head to head. And that's what happened. And they didn't run away with it because they didn't have enough games to run away with it, but it ended up kind of being a no-doubter that the Bills won the division. And there's a lot of football to be played. The Bills have a lot of injuries, so nothing's a given here, but I still really like the Bills to win the division long-term, as long as they don't completely melt down over the next 4 weeks, like you said.
Yeah, I do too. And I think that the biggest thing right now is the Bills just need to get healthy, and they're not going to be obviously completely healthy by next weekend against the Ravens, but it would be really nice to have, you know, an Ed Oliver and a Jordan Poyer back playing again. Like, just those two guys alone would make a massive difference for the defense.
And I think Mitch Morse, he was the only starter the offense was missing going into the game. I just think that offensive line is so much better with Mitch Morse. And Tommy Doyle's lost for the season with an ACL tear now. It's not looking good on the depth of the O-line. That's the one area where they didn't have depth. And it's Greg Van Roten was a problem on Sunday. And I don't know. They're going to have to figure it out, because I think Ryan Bates would be much better at center. I know he's the starting right guard, but center's such a critical position that we don't really pay that much attention to, except for when we see it going badly, like it was yesterday.
Yeah, and I'll be curious to see like how long Mitch Morse is out for. I would hope with any of the Bills' injured players that they take things very conservatively, and if the guys aren't 100%, they just don't play them, because the Bills, whether or not Jordan Poyer and Mitch Morse and Ed Oliver play against the Ravens, the Bills are still 3-point favorites. Doesn't matter. They're still favorites to win the game. And that's what that, like, you have Josh Allen, the Bills are a good team. If you lose, it's not the end of the world. I'd rather take it very safely with those injured guys.
Right. And I think Ed Oliver and Mitch Morse did practice in some capacity near the end of last week. So I would think they're sooner rather than later. And maybe it's just one more week to be conservative, but I think they have to be coming back soon if they're already practicing last week.
Yeah, and I would imagine they are. I think those guys are both playing against the Ravens. I think it was more the Bills looked at the conditions for that game and were like, we're not going to play anyone who's not 100% healthy because of the conditions we're playing in. Look at the guys they lost that were healthy going into the game. Just wasn't that environment in this time of year, just not a great place to play football.
Yeah, and not to sound whiny, but I think the NFL really needs to take a look at what they're doing to players in terms of their safety, playing in Tampa and Miami in September at 1 o'clock. Like, there was guys going down in the Tampa game at 4:30 with heat issues. It's just, I know the Bills were talking, or the broadcast was talking about, oh, they started the hydration process on Monday. When you're wearing, like, I don't even know how much weight football equipment is, like, for those guys, but in 100 degree heat, basically what it feels like with the humidity, it's impossible to orally take on that enough fluids. Like, it's impossible. And it's really a player safety issue at this point. And I don't know. I just wish all games were played in domes. Cause it's better football and it's safer for the players, honestly, especially in the heat.
Yeah, it's tough for the league, because like the Dolphins have to have at least one home game in September every year because of the way they do the schedule. But minimizing the home games Dolphins play in early in the year is in the Buccaneers, any team that plays in that kind of weather, is pretty important. But yeah, having a dome would be fantastic. Like, having the option to play inside or outside is really the ideal situation. Because if it's between 50 and 80 degrees out, and it's not windy or raining, you play outside. Otherwise, you play inside. So I think that would be the ideal thing, is to have the choice for every single game.
Right, and that's why we were big proponents of, you know, put a retractable roof on the Bills Stadium. So when it's nice out, they can play outdoors, and when it's shitty out, they can play indoors. And it's just, there's Dolphins guys going down with cramps and going to the locker room to get IV fluids. Like, what are we doing? It's just, it just seems insane to play in those kind of conditions. Like, yeah, cold and snow sucks, but it's not physically dangerous to people's health up until a certain point, obviously.
Right. And yeah, both teams do have to play in those conditions. And we're not saying that it's unfair to either team. It's just that we shouldn't play football like that. It's that neither team really had an advantage. The Dolphins might have had a slight advantage from their bench being in the shade. But when you're playing on the field, it's everyone's dealing with the same heat. And it's just not safe. And it's as simple as that. And it's tough for the league. But I think it's something that they have to, and they're probably going to be forced to consider, you know, in the next 10 to 15 years anyway.
Yeah. So, Nate, anything else you want to add on our reaction here? Or shall we come back later in the week and preview the Bills at the Ravens?
Yeah, I think the main takeaway is kind of what we got at the whole time, is the Bills are still really good. It sucks to lose. It sucks to lose like this. But the Bills are still a really good team, and the next few weeks are going to be really important when it comes to, you know, the divisional race with the Dolphins.
Yeah, I think my parting words will be, just imagine that one of those things went right that I identified, where they could have had three more points from any one of those instances. How different do we feel? They're 3-0 and in the driver's seat. Like, that's how small the margins are sometimes, and it's a coin flip. So I don't think we should tilt too much emotionally on, you know, what happened on a coin flip type of game. They didn't get it. It sucks, but they're still really good.
Exactly. And so we'll be back sometime later this week to preview the Ravens and hope the Bills can, you know, get to 3-1.
So that'll bring us to an end of this episode of the Bills Breakdown Podcast. I'm your co-host, Alex Ballinger.
And I am Nate Schreiber.
Subscribe, download, give us a rating and a review wherever you get your podcasts. It helps other people find the show. Follow us on Twitter at @Bills_Breakdown. Send us any questions, comments, feedback. Podcast @gmail.com. Thank you for listening.